Okay, today is November 18, 2021. There will be 6 Board of Equalization hearings presented today. The time is now 9 o'clock. And we will hear petition BB2021-07, parcel number 124052104, Dwayne Howard, and he is not present. And name of the appraiser that is present is Brian Moneymaker. And this is a residential hearing. The petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for the rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist, the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are, to some extent, judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not here at present, so the assessor will start with his case. Please begin.
Okay, I was just going to start off on page 1. First of all, thank you for being here. Start off on page 1, parcel's valued at $272,000. It's a 5-acre parcel. I take you now to page 6, and where it states in the state of Washington, state law requires that the assessors appraise property at 100% of the true and fair market value and money according to the highest and best use of the property. That being said, we can just skip straight down to page 9, where we have 3 sales that are 5 acres, 5.15 acres, and 5.25 acres. 2 of the 3 sales have a time-adjusted sale price over, well over the $272,000 value. And then if you go to page 10, you will see the proximity of these 3 sales to the subject. The subject is in the far, the top part of the page, and then the 3 sales, 2 of them are within a half a mile, and then the other one is within a mile. So these are all very valid sales, very good sales, and it kind of reflects what land is going for in that area. So I ask that you sustain our value of $272,000.
No, none.
No, I do not.
I don't have any questions either. So this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-07 for parcel number 124052104. The owner is Dwayne Howard. Time is 9:05.
Okay, it is now 9:30. We will hear petition BE202108, parcel number 1240-52113. Property owner is Dwayne Howard. He is not present. Appraiser is Brian Moneymaker. This is a residential property. The petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Crist, the chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mandela. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts and facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be
legal?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant is not present this morning, so the assessor, you may present with your case.
Okay, just going to start on page one. We have a corrected value of $959,600. Just to start there. The next pages are photos, sketches, descriptions of the property and neighborhood. So now I take you to page 15, and it is land sales that are pertinent to this to the subject. Subject is 5 acres. The land sales are 5 acres, 515 and 525. Two of the three sales are well over the subject's value. So now go on to page 16. That shows the proximity of the sales to the subject. The subject is in blue at the very top. Once again, the two sales are within a half mile. The other one's within a mile. Now on to page 17, our improved sales for the neighborhood are 97.73%. And one story over basement, which is what the subject is 98.89%. That is our level of assessment. Now down to page 19 to show comparable sales. And I take it to the very bottom. Sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. So just want to kind of brief, just go over these three sales, or two sales. They're all within the same quality of good as the subject. They're close to square footage, around 4,000 square feet. They're all built since 2012. We extracted the land from the sale price from the sale price and from the value to come at a value per square foot for the subject of $211 price per square foot, and then for the two sales, the one is $211.95, and then the other one is $279.76. So the subject is right there with the sales for similar improved properties. And that, with the land being what it is, I ask you to sustain the value of
$959,600. Greg, do you have any comments?
No.
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions either.
Okay.
So this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-08. For parcel number 124052113, the owner is Dwayne Howard. The time is 9.
Okay, it is now 9:22. We will hear petition number BE2021-09, parcel number 123390036. Property owners are Kelly and Clint Neal. They are present. Appraiser present is Brian Moneymaker. This petition is scheduled as a residential property, and this petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be rebuttal and questions for the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and Joe Crist, myself, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mandela. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessment. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his case. You may begin, Mr. Neal.
Okay, so I guess I'd like to start off by just everything that we're compared to before this board, before when they first assessed our property. Everything we compared to was not even like for like. What I received here in this paperwork from you guys a while back, there's two properties that are way south off of looks like Hayworth Road. That is up against town, and they're inside of the, they can subdivide down there.
What page?
Now this is page whatever, page 16. There's a map. It shows up and shows our place in the upper left, or excuse me, upper right, and the two places that they're compared to is in the lower left. They are non-irrigable, just like ours. However, our property is in Save the Farmland Act. We cannot subdivide our property at all. We have a minimum of 20-acre requirement. Where these two 20-acre properties are, they can split those, I believe, into 2.5-acre slots. So that right there tells me that that's not even like for like. Going through every parcel in our entire section, section 13, I've got several examples of assessment per acre. This is something, these are all the paperwork that I sent in. I don't know page numbers and all that. They're not labeled. But there's three comparisons that are registered as 81 Resource Agriculture. Do you want the parcel numbers on this stuff?
It's just print-offs off the county website.
Yes.
Of the assessed value.
So for our place, So for our place, which is parcel number ending in, 036. Excuse me? Are you guys with me or am I all discombobulated over here?
No, go.
Okay. In our parcel, which is parcel number 123390036, we have 21.35 acres. We pay an $8,515.22 assessment per acre. We have number six land. That is off of the United States Department of Interior website, which I also sent you that land class map. Our neighbor, Armando Rivera, parcel number 123390153. He owns 33.65 acres. He pays $439.82.
And our parcels were together at one point. When they sold them to us, they split them. So it's the exact same land.
The same sandy loam. Everything is on that land class map that I sent you guys. And that is directly from the Department of the Interior, United States Bureau of Reclamation. Art Hunter, who's our other neighbor, this was all used to be the same piece of dirt, all the same sandy loam, fractured rock, basalt, number six land. Art Hunter, parcel number 123380038. He actually has a farm that he makes money on this, and he pays $4,270.21 assessment per acre.
So we're more than double.
We're doubled of what?
We don't have irrigation or anything. We don't have a crop. We don't have anything that would consider to be a farm. And we're paying double per acre than what
And we can't make money on it. We can't split it up. My biggest thorn in my paw is Armando Rivera pays $439 an acre for the exact same dirt, the exact same land class.
And we pay $8,000.
$8,515. That right there tells me that that is not equal at all.
Mr. Neal?
Yes, sir.
Your time is up. 5 minutes is over.
You now
have to go to the assessor.
Okay.
Okay. I'd first like to start by saying, page one, the property is valued at $859,000. That's the corrected value of $859,000. Now go to page 11. In the state of Washington, state law requires that the assessor's office appraise at 100% of true and fair market value in money according to the highest and best use of the property. Now on to page 13. If you'll look at the sales of non-irrigated land, that's important, non-irrigated land. The subject is $181,000, valued at $181,800. The three sales are $185,000, $199,000, and $307,000. Parcels 2 and 3 are actual, or sale parcels 2 and 3 are actually the same parcel. One sold in 2016 for $199, the second one, and then it sold again for $307. Page 14 is an aerial photo of the property, of the subject property, and then pages page 15.
There's nothing on page 14.
You mean 15.
Oh. 14 is blank.
Okay. Then it must be 15?
Yeah,
because
14 is blank.
Okay.
There is a 15. So 15 is the subject. 16 then would be the two sales.
15 is two sales.
Okay. So you didn't get a copy of the home place. Anyway, that's the home place. It's the same
that's
as
my
the two
place.
Sales. Yes, that's your place. Yeah. Page 16, then, is a map showing where the subject is located off of Langford, and then the two sales are down off of Haworth, and the two sales are actually zoned AP20. They cannot subdivide them. That has been confirmed with the city, with the county planning. All the yellow is all irrigated ground. The white is non-irrigated ground that you cannot subdivide. Down on to page 25. One-story sales going in the approved part. One-story sales in the subject neighborhood are at 99.05% overall. Down to page 27. Start off by saying sales comparison approach of direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. So, but I'm going to just show you two sales. Sale number one has an overall square footage or price per square foot of $204.46. Mm-hmm. Sale number two, $208.18. The land was extracted from the sale price to come at that number. And if you look, the sale number one and sale number two are both average plus and similar in age and size. And then the same thing we did with the subject, we extracted the land and the outbuildings from the subject parcel. So down to page 28, we have an improved sales of double wide or manufactured homes, and we're at 91.81% overall in that neighborhood. Now down to page 30, again, I'm just going to give you two examples of those sales. Sale number one, they're all similar in age, size, and quality. 1982, 1984, fair quality, same as the subject. And sale number one, the subject is valued at $76 per square foot. The sales are at $96 and $150. So well within the sales. And given all of that, the land, and the two improvements, I ask that you sustain our value.
We have 10 minutes for
rebuttal. Are either of the houses or the double wides that you showed, are those in subdivisions or are they on 20-acre plots?
They're on subdivisions, but that's why okay. I extracted the land.
And are they closer to town or are they than our house?
I prefer to answer their question. I mean...
My question is the closer you get to town, the more your value goes up.
Correct. And that's why he said he took the land out.
Yeah. But I'm just saying
location.
The location, the need for the house, the value of it goes up as you're closer to town. I don't feel like these are out in Eltopia, per se. These are Pasco. That's not the same.
They're in that neighborhood.
Correct.
Why I think our value isn't fair. Hold on. A double wide in Eltopia isn't the same as a double wide on an acre and a half in Pasco.
I don't believe Greenfield Road Sale 1 or Quail Road Sale 2 is in Eltopia. It's not in 99330 zip code. Langford Road is in Eltopia. I can't get past the fact that parcel number 12339053 pays $439.82 an acre. There's only one reason for that, and that the only difference is between my place and his place is I pull weeds and pick up trash. That's the only difference. That's why we're talking about property taxes, not dwellings, not... I'm not disputing the worth of the structures. I'm disputing the land. What's going on with the land? In my original paperwork I filed, I even went above and beyond what it's actually worth. If you look at this taxpayer petition that I filled out in September the 30th.
Okay, Janelle, the assessor has a question.
I'd like to make a clarification regarding that. So I'll just go to this one property. Let's see. 2640 Eltopia West Road. If you look to the left of what you're showing, the market value is what we're concerned about, not the taxable value. The taxable value of that parcel.
I don't know which 2640 is.
What are you looking at?
The one that you're showing at $2,536 per acre.
So it's one of your.
Oh, that's 2,000.
You don't have it numbered, so
right
I.
There.
It's ours.
Joel Flatteau.
Oh, yeah, Joel.
Okay, so that is valued at that is in current use. That's why it has a lower value. So they get the lower value. They get a lower value in exchange to farm the property. This is why I also included my sales were of non-irrigated land. The ones that are about half of that value, that's because they're in current use. They get a lower value in exchange to farm. The market value is what his is based off of because he's not in the current use program.
Okay. Richard, do you have any questions?
I do. Brian?
Yeah.
So they can't use their land, so they have to pay a higher use?
Well, if they choose to farm the land.
But they're unable to because they don't have irrigation rights?
Well, they would have to do something that wouldn't require irrigation, whether it's put cattle on there for a few months out of the year. They at least have to show some kind of farming. But and especially he's over 20 acres. So they just have to show that they are farming it in order to get the lower value. But they have to at least show that they're doing it for commercial farming practices, not just for personal use, but to actually sell calves or whatever. That's how you'd have to produce an income. It has to show commercial farming in order to qualify, whether it's a 5-acre parcel or a 1,000-acre parcel, doesn't matter. They have to show that they're at least doing it for farming.
You could put goats out there and sell goat milk?
You could, as long as you are doing it for some commercial farming purpose, yes.
Okay.
I don't believe Mr. Rivera is doing anything for farming, though, at $800 an acre.
No, excuse me,
$400. $440 an acre.
I submitted this U.S. Bureau of Reclamation land class system. I had to explain to the gal that come out and assess my property what that was. She didn't even realize there was a land class system, and I don't know that anybody in this room does. It's from the 40s.
I can't speak for Mr. Rivera. All I can speak for is the subject.
Right.
And I'm speaking to you about this land class system. There wasn't one person in the office that understood what the land class system was from the 40s. And it clearly shows class 6 non-arable land that is non-arable under the existing or project economic conditions associated with the proposed project development. Generally, Class 6 comprises steep, rough, broken, rocky, or badly eroded lands or lands with inadequate drainage or other deficiencies. In some instances, lands considered to be Class 6 in one area may be arable in another area because of different economic conditions. In addition to various physical deficiencies that result in a non-arable classification, lands initially classified as arable, potentially irrigable, on the basis of payment capacity, farm financial analysis, may be found from non-arable or subsequent economic analysis, benefit analysis, indicates that benefits from such lands are less than their cost in a plan of development. Thus, the lower arable classes, the lands would be considered non-arable and, of course, non-arable for economic reasons. That right there is why there is no farming on that. Now, if we go back to these classes right here, whether they're outside the irrigation district, I don't know. But I can tell you that this is not considered class 6. You can tell by looking at the photos that it is flat, drainable earth. There is no broken rock putting out of the ground.
We're getting close to our time. Are you going to offer questions?
Shoot.
Any,
none.
Do you have any questions?
No.
I don't have any questions.
I have one more.
Ma'am.
Where does it show that your land is class 6?
Okay. So on that map that you're looking at.
This one?
Right there. Now it is difficult to see. Can I come over?
Oh, sure.
So right here.
Okay, because it's really
the
best quality.
So there's 6-5-T, 6-D. This is Armando's, my neighbor, that we're talking about, Mr. Rivera, that pays 440 an acre. He's got some number three dirt right there, which is good. He's got six. That's where it shows it.
So this is your
parcel? This is my parcel that we're speaking about.
And this is all six?
Well, it's there's 6-5-T, there's 6-RS, there's 6-D, 6-RS. Yeah.
It is very difficult to see.
It is very difficult to see, and I apologize about that, but that is the best I could do. But it is, in fact, there.
Can I pass that down?
Yes, ma'am. You can have that.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
The sales that I included cannot be irrigated. They cannot be subdivided. They cannot be irrigated. That's why I included them, to show they're comparable to the subject.
But you don't,
regardless of land, regardless of the soil class, they can't do anything with them.
Do you have any do you know whether or not they're class six?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Right now,
nobody in the assessor's office even understood what that was. They're assessing land that doesn't even have classes. They don't even understand the class system.
Okay. The time is up. This concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-09 for parcel number 12339-0036. The owners are Kelly and Clint Neal. The time is 10:03.
Is that it?
Okay, it is now 10:50, and we will hear BE2021-14, parcel number 113120275, commercial property ART MTG Bar, PRO, PCO. Represented by Oliver Gibbons, who is not present. We have Chief Appraiser Nikki Morgan that is present. This is a commercial property. The petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Remy Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Mendelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
The
community
that will be testifying today affirms that the testimony you are about to give will be the truth.
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. Since the appellant is not here, the assessor's office will present her case. You may start.
Okay, so I have provided everything in the packet that I think is relevant. We would ask the board to sustain our value, and really I'm here to answer any questions in case you have any. It is a cold storage facility, so a portion of the building is on this parcel and a portion of the building is on the next petition's parcel. So.
Any questions?
No.
I do.
You do?
I do, yes. Is it okay to use a Benton County facility as a comparable?
Yes, as long as it's comparable.
Okay. Yeah. That's all going on here.
Okay, I don't have any questions.
Okay, thank you.
This concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-14 for parcel number 113120275. The owners are ART, MTG, Borrower, PROPCO, 2006-1CLP. The time is 10:54. The time is now 10:54. We will go directly into petition BE2021-15. This is parcel number 113120359. The owner is ART, MTG, Borrower, PROPCO. This is a resident, correction, this is a commercial property and it is scheduled for 30 minutes. Both the appellant and the appraiser have 10 minutes to highlight their points of evidence as provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions by the board. Since we've already given the oath, appellant is not present here, and the assessor representative, Nikki, has already given her oath, so you're under testament, you're still under oath, and we will go into the next petition, and you may commence.
Okay, so again, the board has my packet of information regarding the valuation. While the building does straddle both of the parcels, all of the improvements are valued on the previous parcel, so this is just the assessment of the land for the secondary parcel. And I'm here to answer any questions in case you have them.
I just have, why didn't they just combine, or why hasn't the property just been combined?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Oh.
They could do so at any time, but there's a cost associated.
Okay.
And you, on page 4, just to understand, for the market adjustment, that's just a, you've seen, you're basically applying a 10% increase based on trends of sales?
Correct, the 10% added to the land. So on page 6 are the statistics for that area, and it shows that our level of assessment, median level of assessment, is at 80%, and that's after the 10% was added to all parcels, industrially zoned parcels this year.
Okay.
Nope.
Alicia, do you have any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. This concludes the hearing. So petition BE202115, parcel number 113120359. That is for ART, MTG, Borrower, PROPCO, 2006-1CLP. The time is now 10:57.
It is now 11:40. We will hear BE2021-16, parcel number 113560040. Simplot RDO LLC. Representative is Ashley Moore from Ryan LLC. She is not present. We have present Chief Appraiser Nikki Morgan. This is a commercial property. The petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as chair, or clerk, is Jennifer Manelis. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers that are to some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to provide the to prove that the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you that will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you are about to give will be
true? I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final decision. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor. We have reviewed it. The appellant is not present, so the assessor will present her case. Nikki, you may begin.
All right. Good morning. Yes, my name is Nikki. I think it's worth running through this packet as it is an industrial valuation packet, so just for the benefit of the board, I'd like to run through it. This is a food processing facility on 25.9 acres of I-1 industrial land in the city of Pasco. Page 2 runs through the trended investment method valuation description. So typically we're looking at either the cost approach, the sales comparison of the approach, or the income approach. This is your fourth approach. It follows the state guidelines. It is all provided by the state and administered by the state. So it is similar to personal property in that it is a self-reporting system. So the state guidelines are released or given to us every year by the Department of Revenue, and that's what pages 3 through 23 are. And it just lines out how the trend and investment method works, how the reporting is required annually, and then how the tables work, how to identify different types of property, and that the state determines the amount of depreciation, which is different for each industry. So they're industry specific. So we're following food processing facilities, which already takes into consideration any obsolescences of that industry in that year. So starting on page 24 is the results of my analysis, which just includes taking a TIM template that comes directly from the Department of Revenue and putting the information from the appellant, from the taxpayer, directly into it to come to a value. The only thing that the assessor's office does independent of the state guidelines is land valuation. So down at the very bottom of page 24, just above the total value is the land value. So that is independently arrived at by the assessor's office. Page 25 is land and buildings. Again, that's directly reported from the taxpayer and then depreciated according to state guidelines. The rest of the pages are trend M, which is machinery and equipment, and they're all trended at the 10, which is food processing facilities. So everything else in my packet is literally just the email correspondence on page 43 from when the taxpayer provided the information to us, and then a printout of their Excel spreadsheets. They have a page of, and every industrial parcel, we have 16 of them, report exactly the same way. They give us a page of additions for the year, then they give us a page of removals, so anything that they got rid of or destroyed, and then they provide their entire asset list. So the asset list is coded, whether it's land and buildings or machinery and equipment. We compared it to what we had last year, made sure that we had the additions and removals accounted for, and trended it according to state guidelines. So I have provided at the very end on page 70 just the value report for us. So you can see on page 71 the value is turned on. We're adding the value for that separately. And then while we do look at the cost approach, it's all built up in the system. On page 71, you can see they're not valued, so we've turned the cost approach off. And on page 72, you see the lump sum industrial trend value turned on, and that comes directly from that TIM template from the state. So also for your review, there's a photo on page 73 through 77, and then a sketch on page 78. An aerial photography view on page 79. And then the sales for your review on page 80. So this is for the I-1 industrial zoned parcels near the subject. So there's a map on page 81. The subject is in blue. The land comps that sold are in the lavender color. And so the list is on page 80. You can see our overall level of assessment is still only 78% in this area. So this is one of the highest value-changing areas in the county right now just because of the industrial growth out there. They're going to continue to see land increases. So I'm open for questions from the board.
Some understanding here. I noticed the accountant spoke about something with a obsolescence utilization analysis.
Yeah, I called Ashley twice. The first time I talked to her, she was confident that she was going to receive information from the property owner in time to submit data. Mm-hmm. And then the day that the packet was due, I reached out to her again and left her a message. I'm just thinking she either couldn't receive the information she needed from the property owner or wasn't able to quantify it in the market for obsolescence. I'm not sure.
So an obsolescence analysis would give you the evidence or the information you needed in order to make changes to the form that you use?
Just because the property owner feels that there may be some obsolescence warranted doesn't mean that we would agree, but I could at least then review it and come to some determination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
Nope.
No, I don't. Okay. It's pretty good.
Okay, this concludes the hearing for petition number BE2021-16 for parcel number 113-560040, Simplot Rodeo LLC, and the time is 11:49. Thank you. These are the decisions of the Franklin County Board of Equalization for November 18th, 2021. Regarding petition number BE2021-07, parcel number 12405210-4, the petitioner's name is Dwayne Howard. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $272,000 and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's value was fair and accurate and reflected the current market value. The board determined that insufficient evidence was provided by the owner to show how the assessor was in error. Simply stating that the increase was unrealistic is not sufficient to show how the assessor was in error. Using two existing land sales, the assessor demonstrated the assessed value actually fell lower than the price per acre of the comparable properties. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-07. Regarding petition number BE202108, parcel number 12405211-3, the petitioner's name is Dwayne Howard. The board decided to sustain the assessor's corrected value of $959,600 and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's value was fair and accurate and reflected the current market value. The board determined that insufficient evidence was provided by the owner to show how the assessor was in error. simply stating that the increase was unrealistic is not sufficient to show how the assessor was in error. Using statistical analysis, the assessor demonstrated that the assessed value fell within the acceptable range of the ratio study and was also supported by reviews of two comparable sales in the subject neighborhood. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE202108. Regarding petition number BE2021-09 for parcel number 12339-0036, the petitioner's names, Kelly and Clint Neal, the board decided to sustain the assessor's value, the corrected value of $895,000, and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's corrected value was fair and accurate and reflected the current market value. The board determined that evidence provided by the owner was not clear in showing how the property should be valued lower. The abundance of documents didn't show the true nature of the owner's concern. Using statistical analysis, this concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-08. Correction, this concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-09. Regarding petition number BE202114, parcel number 11312075. Petitioner's name is ART MTG Borrower Propco 2006-1CLP. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $19,511,200 and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's value was based on a fair and accurate estimated cost of construction, less depreciation using recognized industry standards. The board found insufficient evidence provided by the owner to support a reduction of the assessed value. The owner provided no comparables to substantiate his statements in Section 4 of his appeal. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-14. Regarding petition number BE2021-15, parcel number 11312039, petitioner's name is ART MTG Borrower Propco 2006-1CLP. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $525,000 and is based on the following. The board found that the assessor's value was based on an accurate assessment of multiple industrial land sales in the neighborhood. The board found insufficient evidence provided by the owner to support a reduction of the assessed value. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-15. Regarding petition number BE2021-16, parcel number 11356-0040. The petitioner's name is Simplot RDO LLC. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $88,370,800 and is based on the following. The board found that there is insufficient evidence to support a reduction of the assessed value. The owner's statement about the assessor not considering material obsolescence was unsubstantiated. Although stated in Section 4 as fact, no utilization analysis was provided with this petition to support the owner's assertion. This concludes the board's judgment for petition number BE2021-16. The meeting for November 18th, 2021 is now adjourned.